in every city as I direct you. I'm skipping right over to verse 10. It says, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. That is for financial gain. They don't think just for financial gain. I want to skip right over to Titus chapter 3, and then I'm going to look at verse 9. Verse 9 reads, now I'm reading this. Verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man. That is somebody that just wants to be contentious.
Reject
a factious man or woman after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Faith in order unites and thrives.
Faith unites and thrives.
But faith in disorder divides and dies. We're going to get a moment after we pray. I need you to write that down because I may not remember to bring that back up. I am on assignment. If you are a guest today, God bless you. I hope I have to talk to the church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jesus Christ, we come before you, Father, and we ask, oh God, that you would have your way. It has to be you all the way.
Yes.
I am here, Father, as a conduit. I can't take the blows, the torture, the whips, hallelujah, the stones, God, the staff in the side. I can't take that, but you can. So I invite you to go ahead of me. So that you can do what you do, that you may suffer. For your name's sake, Father, have your way in this place, Father. Hide me behind your cross. Do what you want to do. I pray that the hearts and minds of your people are open to receive what you are setting up to do. And I thank and praise you, Father. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Before I get into this, I'm asking you, I am under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Touch somebody and just say you love them. Touch somebody. That might be the only time they hear somebody love them all day, but at least they hear the love from God. The kingdom. You may be seated. The kingdom needs to be in order.
Amen.
The kingdom
Amen.
Of God needs to be in order. Everywhere you go, every time you look around, there's disorder. There's disorder. My wife and I are driving in. And all we saw on Pennsylvania Avenue and North Avenue was just busy. Everybody's just sitting around. Everybody's doing the wrong thing. It's just disorder.
Yeah.
We have young people who don't want to go through process.
That's right. Come on.
That's right.
Come on.
You have young people that don't want to go through the process. They just want the title. They just want the position. They don't want to go through process. They don't want to go through experience. They just want to get the job. They believe they can have your job.
That's right.
With no experience, with no process. That's disorder. I need you to get with me, saints, on this and hear what the Lord is saying.
Yes.
It's disorder. We live in a society that we don't believe in marriage anymore. Because that's too hard. That's a process.
Yeah.
I would rather be a parent.
Come on.
But not a spouse. I want to skip the process and have the result. That's not God's order. That's out of order. And then you have your babies that are raised in a relationship that there's no fidelity. Listen, I know I'm coming down your lane, but I need you to understand God's order. And we're skipping. There's no fidelity, and now your kids are being raised up with no fidelity, meaning commitments. They're being raised and they don't know what a commitment looks like. Because we're skipping phases. We're skipping the process. That's this one. Hallelujah. We have a society that because you're having a social breakdown, you get to impose your social breakdown or new identity onto me. Declare you are what you believe in your mind you are. And you impose that on me and my children.
And now
I have to confuse my children who says, oh, I thought they were so-and-so. And I'm like, well, babe, we have to be compassionate because that's what they feel or think they are. So now, because somebody's having a social episode, I have to also agree and be invited into their world. We're out of order.
Teach it, make it plain.
This is happening in the church as well.
It's
scary what's happening in the church. My wife and I are driving in, and there's a church on every corner. But there's drug dealers on that same corner selling drugs. There are women selling their bodies on the same corner as the church. We are divided more than ever. We're out of order because we're divided. And everybody wants their own position. Everybody wants to be out front. Everybody wants a title. Nobody wants to work. Acknowledged and honored, and you've done nothing to get there.
Come on.
This is happening in the church. This is why I tell people all the time, be patient. Let us equip you, let us train you. Because don't you know greater is the condemnation to you if you are real. Greater is the condemnation. What does that mean? You're going to get judged worse. And self-proclaim this, and everybody has a platform.
That's right.
And you self-proclaim that, and you just go. And you're and it's divided.
That's
right. And understand when you're divided, that brings forth death because nothing can stand when you're divided.
That's right.
There's no unity.
Good.
There's no unity. This is dangerous.
Yes.
I want you to go into your Bibles real quick. Go into your Bible and I want you to look up Hebrews. I know everybody has a phone. So if you have a phone, you have a Bible. Go to Hebrews. This is different. But I'm asking you to allow me to do what the Lord's asking me to do.
Yes.
Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Go there. I want you you to understand the weight that is on your pastor. The Bible says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let me stop right there. Don't you know that the weight of your life is on me? I have to give an account for your behavior. Me. When I teach and preach to you, God is going to hold me accountable for what I teach and preach to you. So the way you behave is a deflection or a reflection, rather, a reflection of how I'm teaching and preaching to you.
Come on.
I gotta deal with that. He's going, Pastor, did they understand? Were you clear what you said? Because these are the people who I love that I entrusted to your care. But if they're going out, behaving, manifesting whatever that they choose that they want to do without submitting, that's on you.
Come on, get playing, man.
That's on you. And I got to deal with that. But the Bible says, let them do this with joy and not grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. He's talking about you. So if you don't submit to the higher authority, what God has supplanted to be the spiritual leader of your souls, it doesn't profit you. But I got to hold the account for it. I got to deal with that. It's out of order. Touch your neighbor, because just so if you remember, touch your neighbor, it's out of order. It's out of order. It's out of order. It's out of order. How many of us would get on an elevator that said, I don't know? Some of us are afraid to go home to our marriages because it's. Some of us are losing our mind because our minds are. Them babies that are running around these streets, they got there because the parents were. Because the parents didn't want to subject themselves to a higher authority. What makes you think that the kids will do it? The teachers are having a hard time teaching babies because they got to babysit unsubmitted children, undisciplined children. Order. The Webster Dictionary says order is to command. Organize, arrange, order.
That's right.
Yeah. Order in the court.
Yes.
Arrange, organize. Amen. Command. I want to talk to somebody today because there are some things that are going on in your life that is out of order. But if you learn to open up your mouth and command it in the name of Jesus to be in order, perhaps you will have some order in your marriage, in your life, in your in your home, on the job, if you opened up the power of your mouth, of your lips, come on, the power of life and death is in the power. You can command order. This is the same way Elder Ice opened it up earlier. It is the same way our Father in heaven, hallelujah, the Bible calls him Elohim. And in Hebrew, Elohim, it means God plural. It's organization, mother, because you're organized when you're united. And it's Elohim, it means plural. So he says he sees the earth, and the earth is chaos. There's no order. And he commands, let there be light. And when he commands it, then order begins to displace. And order, and hallelujah, life begins to come out of order. And he speaks this. Hallelujah. And the firmament from the firmament, everything goes into its place and it begins to produce life. This is what order does. Order organizes, it arranges, it produces life. Hallelujah. We see this in this book. And then I love the part when, hallelujah, when God makes all the stuff that he makes because he commands it, he arranges it, he organizes it. I love it when he says, and let us make man in our image, in our likeness. I love that because what it says is to the character of God, that God is united. That he's not going in at it alone or all one. The Bible says, he says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Yeah. That means that if we got together and we united, we look like God. You are alone, you are not in the image of God. Wow. You're divided, you're separated.
Come on.
I mean, you're cut off.
Yes.
You're by yourself, you're out of order. And I love it because he says, when he makes man, he created him. Right. Male and female, order. Right. Created he them.
Yeah.
Male and female. I'm not gonna go dive into that too deep. But that was the order and how he was setting up the family. That was set up in his image and his likeness. This is what this order does. This order divides. This order divides and it dies. It can't stand. The kingdom of God, I love it. The kingdom is different than a democracy.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
All right.
I have to go.
All right.
Hallelujah. Thank
the
you.
Kingdom is different than a democracy.
That's right.
A kingdom has a king.
That's right.
And we who are children of God, that means that we are representations or representatives of the Most High God.
That's
that means that our standard is higher than our social government.
That's right.
We are not supposed to be like them. We are not of this world.
That's right.
We are from the kingdom and we represent the Most High God. We represent God.
Yeah.
We are not here to lower our standards to the way society is. That's the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm just saying?
Yes.
We are kingdom kids. We are citizens of a king, not a democracy.
That's right.
A democracy means that there are authority in the common people. I had to look this thing up. Democracy comes from the word demote or demos. Crossi means authority. But demos or the or demote, it means common people. Demote derives from a root word, da, D-A, which means, it blew my mind when I looked at this thing, it means to divide. This is where we get our words, pandemic, deal, epidemic, demon. And I don't want to confuse you because demons are organized.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You ain't wrestling with that husband, that wife, but a principality. Jesus casts out a devil, a mute devil. And the Pharisees, in whom he was changing the social agenda, got nervous and said, Beelzebub casts out Beelzebub, meaning the devil casts out another devil. And Jesus says, the devil can't be against itself, which means that that kingdom would fail, it would die. A house divided understand. It's impossible. But his job is to make your life a living hell. It is to divide you from the kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? The devil's job is to divide you, common people. Somebody touch their neighbor and say, I ain't common. I'm a kingdom. I'm a king. But he sits there to divide you and separate you from the source, from the kingdom of God.
That's right. That's
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what he set up to do.
That's right.
The kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we look, let me make sure I look at my young people. You follow. You follow. You following me? The reason why I'm saying that is because I am held accountable for your souls. Hebrews 13, 17. We're going to play around with the Bible.
Yes.
In this book of Titus, in which I opened up with, Paul is talking to Titus, a student of his, who he has highly elevated into being a pastor. It's very similar to Timothy.
Yes.
We don't talk about Titus, we talk about Timothy. But in this 3-chapter letter to Titus, it's written to him in urgency. It's written to him in urgency because he needs him to make sure that the church is in order. Why? Because there are voices. Trying to influence what Paul has already set up. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So there are people in the outside that are making moves and controlling the people that Paul has already set up. And he's telling Titus, no, I need you to set up shop and make sure quickly you not only teach good doctrine, but you also get leaders involved so that what I have done doesn't get slipped up or tripped up, or the people don't get hoodwinked on hearing too many voices. Because what is that? That is division. It's division. We can't serve two masters. The Bible says, well, you would love one and hate the other. Some versions say you will despise. You will despise them. Could you imagine? Could you imagine one of your babies? Hallelujah. Could you imagine one of your babies out in the community and somebody gas them up and say, what's going on in your house? That shouldn't be going on in your house. Could you imagine somebody take a hold of your babies and says, you shouldn't be doing it. Instead of baby, where's your mama and your daddy at?
Come on!
That must be too much like order to me. Where your parents at? Come on, let's get you back to your parents. Because the way they do things in their home is their business. And the way you do things in your home is your business. The Bible says that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that, hallelujah, it says that there are many ministries, but one Lord. Mind your ministry, why I mind mine? I looked at this thing last night because the Lord just completely obliterated my message. Can I tell on Pastor?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about excuses. Oh, it was going to be a bomb message to me. Oh, I was going to hit that message up. No, he said, order. And I said, Lord, why are you doing me like this? You know I don't do this. I don't play like this. He said, I need you to preach to them order. I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir.
Amen.
I said, yes, sir. I'll preach order. What do you want me to know, Father? He says, I want you to know that every leader that I've elected and I gave them a mandate to maintain order in my in this world, to maintain the kingdom in this world, that disobeyed, I cut them off from the kingdom, or I did not allow them to get into the promise. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it again. Every leader that I have elected, greater is the condemnation when you call yourself in this office. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When you make that poor decision, you got to understand I have to give an account for your behavior. We are together. So when you make that decision, think about the person that is over your soul. So he starts showing me, I said, this is the way me and God talk. I'm like, God, you lying, you lying. And he started showing me. He started taking me one by one. He showed me Adam and Eve, his first people. And as soon as they disobeyed his order, he kicked them out of the kingdom. Eden.
That's right.
He kicked them out of Eden. That was kingdom. That was kingdom on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. That was the model. Then he started showing me. He said, look at Moses.
That's right.
I said, Lord, what about Moses? He says, I asked Moses to do one thing.
That's right.
I told him, two things. I said, the first time I want you to strike the rock. When you strike the rock, the children will be able to have water. This was a representation of Jesus Christ. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is the rock. And it was prophesied that when he was hit by the staff, that water would come out. This would happen, elder, one time. So he does it the first time. Because the people were murmuring, complaining. The people were stiff-necked. The people were holding Moses, the leader, up from going into the promised land. Because all they knew was law. They didn't know how to live in grace. So the people was holding Moses as God's man, the man that actually saw God with his own eyes, the backside of him. We today are just, if I could just get a presence of the Lord. He got to see the dude's backside. But in his anger, the people begin to murmur and complain again, keeping him out of the kingdom. So what does he do? When they murmur and complain again, he strikes the rock again because they're thirsty, and Jesus and God condemns him because Jesus could only be struck once. Spoken to twice. This spoken to the second time. This is why under the law, it was the law he was struck. Let me make sure I make sense. He was struck. Right. That was the law.
Right.
But under grace and truth, all we got to do is confess. Come on. Confess the Lord Jesus. Come on. That God raised him from the dead and we shall be saved. Now it's a confession thing. And God said, you will not go into my promised land because you disobeyed me in front of the people.
That's right.
Come on, God, after all we've been through, you disobeyed order in front of my people. Imagine a commanding soldier in our U.S. Army when thousands of lives on the line disobey in order. Imagine that. Everybody get killed.
That's right.
Everybody.
That's right.
I say, Lord, this is messed up. Okay, you got Moses. Whom else? He says, I want you to examine my son, Saul. Saul was a king. All the people wanted the king. They elected Saul as king. Saul was given instruction to kill everything. I don't know who I'm talking to. But when the Lord tells you to destroy everything, you kill everything. Because if you keep that internet site up, come on. If you keep that relationship still going,
come on, come on, come on.
If you keep that thing going on, just the life of it, it can come back and even worse.
Yeah.
He told him to kill everything, and he didn't in front of everybody. And as soon as he does that, the prophet Samuel says, God has elected a new king.
Yeah.
He cut him off from the kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, Lord, that's messed up. Then lastly, but not least, he shows me Eli. Eli was a priest in Shiloh. In Shiloh is where they had the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
The Ark of the Covenant was a chest, a treasure chest. Because God had not come fully in the flesh, he rested in the treasure chest. Hallelujah. We call it the Ark of the Covenant. And there were many priests in Jerusalem. But in Shiloh, Eli got to have the treasure chest and his tabernacle.
What?
And the presence of God in my crib.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And while that was going on, he allowed his sons, his flock, his children to run amok. To run amok. They were sleeping with women at the gate.
That's right.
Distorting the house of God. And he allowed this to go on. He did not rebuke them. He did not correct them. He just allowed it to go on. And God told young Samuel, who was only a child, told Samuel, tell Eli that what I promised him, that particular lineage would last forever, it will be cut off. It will end. I'm cutting you off from the kingdom. And he made Samuel the prophet in his day.
That's right.
It went through it skipped a lineage.
That's right.
Because of not keeping his order.
Right.
Yeah. Order. Order.
Are you following me, church?
Yes. Yes.
Are you following?
Yes.
When I became pastor in October, I can't explain it to you, but I stepped into who I am. I can't explain that. It's what I'm here to do. But I'm also wise enough to know that when God has given me this type of responsibility, he gave me instructions to, I need order, son. So the first thing I did was shut everything down. Why, Pastor? Because I need to see who were mine. Who were supposed to be under my shepherd. Because I realized that everybody that I preach to doesn't belong to me.
That's right.
And I needed to create a kingdom standard, not something that somebody that jumps in and say, oh baby, they ain't using you. Let me come on this side. Are divided.
Yeah, my God.
They're interested in their own self-interest. They're not interested in your soul.
Come on.
I'm your pastor. I think. They're not interested in your soul. They want membership.
Come on.
If you see any of my sheep in your vineyard or whatever, call me up. Your sheep got lost. So I come get them. My sheep's not a little kid, lost kid. Right. You know me.
Right.
You know Pastor Jeff down the street. You fellowship with Pastor Jeff.
Come on.
And that's not what's happening, church.
Come on.
I want you.
Yes. Come on, Pastor.
I'm about to close. Open up your Bibles. Go to Acts chapter 20. Go to Acts chapter 20. I want you to see what I'm seeing so that I'm going to say this while we get to Acts chapter 20. Get Acts chapter 20. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. I want you to go to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. Watch how dangerous this is. Watch what Paul warns. He says, therefore, hallelujah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hold on. No. Excuse me. Verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. That's you. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's me. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure,
savage wolves
will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Do you hear what? Are you feeling me? Sons, daughters, are you hearing what I'm saying? There are individuals that knows that we're trying to build a standard for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But they're in your ears trying to persuade you out of the ministry that God has placed in your heart, I think. Because it ain't in everybody's heart. And I get it. I do. But that I can't tolerate in this house. Because God gave me an order and you. I am going to do what the Lord told me to do because I'm not going to get cut off from his kingdom like those other ones did. It ain't happening. I will obey the Lord and fall under his order. I need you to hear me. If I'm your pastor, and we don't do that today, because
right.
I need to know.
That's right.
Elder, I need to know. I don't know.
That's right.
I want to assure us when the Lord judges me in heaven, I'm going to be like, Lord, I don't know if that was my flock. Because they wasn't even showing up on time. They wasn't coming. They weren't praying. They wasn't doing any of the applications that I was giving them to do. I don't think their hearts were with me. Listen to me. I'm asking Israelite church, if I'm your pastor and you're a member here, give me 30 days. Give me 30 days to make sure that you have a standard. It is my job as the pastor to make sure that you have a standard. Our standard is not a democracy. Did that make sense when I broke down democracy?
Yes.
You sure? You know who I'm looking at. You sure? This is a kingdom. And we are representations or representatives of the king. We don't, listen, you either submit to the king or you don't. And if you don't, then you get cut off from the king, which makes you divided. And that house cannot stand.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
If somebody is in your ear, listen, by no means am I saying that you shouldn't have mentors. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have mentors. But if you're going to serve in this house, I said serve. There's only one pastor.
That's it.
Come on.
Can you imagine, mother? Could you imagine that the Lord declares something in this house, but somebody outside, I got man-tearing candidates in here. That means that somebody can say a thing to you and disrupt you to do something else. They distract you from something else. I got insurgents, that's a better word, in my house. Insurgents. That means that you work, come on now. You work for Under Armour, why are you wearing Nikes?
Come on!
It don't make no sense. Are you the U.S. Army or are you working for Russia? They're both armies. And I'm sure they work for the common good of their citizens, but this is the ministry that God has placed me to be the pastor. And He placed you to be a member or a leader, then I'm asking you that you should submit yourself under the word that God has given me. We live in a culture today that we are word hoarders. I'm going to close after this. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that I got to be online getting some teeth. I'm not going to say no names. This person's message, this bishop's message, this doctor's message, this prophet's message. And you have to chew on what God has told you in this house.
That's good. That's the word.
The word that I'm giving you is for your life.
Come on.
It is custom made. For you. Y'all don't believe me back there. I'm going to say it again. The word that God gives me is custom built, custom made. It is the food that is specifically designed for you so that you can live the life that will guarantee you to the kingdom. If you're chewing on everybody else's food, you're Goldilocks. Is that the right thing? Goldilocks? That ain't none of your porch. That ain't none of your soup. If that individual, doctor, preacher, prophet, bishop, whomever is not directing you back to your shepherd,
That's it.
Then they're deceiving you.
Yes.
They're manipulating you. Yes. And they desire you for their own personal gain.
That's it.
Come on. And that's the stuff this ministry won't tolerate.